up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley. I am AKA at Farley Betts across all social media. And as always, it's fantastic to be back with all of you. It is Wednesday, June 7th. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is upon us. We're betting the WNBA and winning a lot. We're betting the French Open and winning. Not a lot, but we're winning. And we're starting to really catch our steam in these NBA Finals as well. I love our plays for Game 3. We'll get to that a little bit later. Just me flying solo today, which I like to do sometimes. Typically, we have a great guest on Laying the Points, and that's probably going to happen next week. I know I've also promised and talked about my wife, Dr. Kate, coming back on Laying the Points to talk a little bit of sports betting psychology with all of you. She's a clinical psychologist, and I know we had her on last year, and that was a great episode that many enjoyed. So great guests are still incoming in the weeks ahead, but I want to talk to y'all a little bit about the NBA Finals Game 3. I want to get into a little game theory in sports betting because on Laying the Points, we don't just give out free picks. We don't just have great guests. We talk about game theory, sports betting philosophy, and strategy to help your, holistic perspectives on sports betting to help you improve your day-to-day methods so that there's more money in your bankroll. I love getting into the philosophy of it all. So we'll talk about that a little bit today as well. In case you don't know, you should know. Again, AKA at Farley Betts across all social media. Won fifth place in the Circa Millions contest 2 years ago. 114K cash prize. Career 57% win percentage in the NBA. Over 150 units won. Featured on the BetUS NBA and NFL shows. Featured at Vegas Insider at VSiN. Started at the Odds Breakers, and now here we are. I'm Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Been doing this thing for over a decade, this sports betting thing. And check out farleybets.com for a nonstop free picks and free sports betting information to help you and your bankrolls. All that said, let's get into some game theory to start off this podcast. Probably be a shorter podcast. You know, I always say that, and then I rant and I rant and I rant. But this one should be a solid 25 to 30. Here's the thing, okay? From the beginning of sports betting, like when sports betting really caught steam, started with horses, you know, back in the day, about 100 years ago or so, right? And as mostly fellas kept on betting on sports, mostly in Vegas, right? For many decades, only in Vegas. Following line movement, understanding what the number means, understanding how to handicap the game itself, that was and still continues to be the most important part of sports betting, right? The numbers. Nuggets minus two tonight. What is that telling us? What are the odds bankers telling us? What have we seen in the line movement? What is that telling us, right? The best sports bettors, the ones who hit 55% and over, are usually the ones who understand and track line movement and the quantifiable side of sports betting the best. I like to talk about other methods of sports betting theory or game theory. What is game theory? It's a theoretical framework for conceiving social situations among competing players. What does that sound like? Sports. And although it's extremely important that you understand the numbers side of things, right? Line movement and all that. I'm not saying that's not important. But one area, right, where we're in the sports betting industry, it's very immature, right? It's a very young marketplace as these states open up in America to offer legalized sports betting. And if your state doesn't have legalized sports betting, stay tuned, because I have a way for you to still place bets and win a lot of wagers. But as sports betting grows in America, the recreational sports bettor increases, right? We're seeing exponential amounts of money, billions being made in states like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, because people want to bet on sports. They want to be involved in the action. They want to be a part of it. And most people don't have the time, right? Like you listen to these guys on Twitter and they always seem mad, don't they? Spanky, Fezzik. They're always mad. You got damn Twitter content providers. Fuck you. I get it. You know, they're old school. They're pretty damn good at what they do, from what I know, for the most part. And they're married to those ideologies, those quantifiable methods to placing their bets. And that is still, I mean, from what I know, that's still the most important part to all of this. But when we're thinking about players and social environments and sports and competition, this is where psychology comes in, right? This is where maybe as a pro sports bettor or even as a recreational sports bettor, maybe we can try to give more time to understanding what's actually happening in the game, aka game theory. And the problem for most people, even professional sports bettors, even those big wig sports bettors who claim they know everything about sports betting and how to win constantly, is most of you, most of us, we see teams as stagnant realities, right? Objects. Like they have certain character types or certain archetypes. But teams, especially in pro sports, are too dynamic for that line of thinking. They're always changing, right? Because their nature consists of too many different parts, i.e., too many different people, players, personalities. If you think about it, even individual people can change rapidly, but over time, most stop changing all that much, right? We sort of form into who we are. And as life goes on, we change a little bit less, which I don't know how smart that is, actually. We should always be evolving. But that's the case for most of us. But in sports, in pro sports, we're talking about mostly 20-year-olds or early 30s, but mostly 20-year-olds. And they're making mistakes. And their brains, half of them, aren't fully developed. Like Jason Tatum, 25, right? His brain is not fully developed. That is an objective scientific fact. Brains fully develop at 26. So these are big personalities, coaches, stars, role players. Like, how do they understand their role? How good are they at it? Relationships between players, culture. And that's why a team like Miami has been to this postseason dance a lot. Three different Eastern Conference finals in 4 years, two different NBA finals in 4 years. And all that people can talk about is what they see on paper and the lack of talent that they have. How did they get here with these no-name, undrafted players? Well, because they have that side of it figured out, right? The culture, the relationships, the role players, the leadership. They have that all figured out. So did Golden State until they didn't, right? That whole Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, and when they went on the road, the older players would chill together. The younger players would chill together. That's not good. They started to lack chemistry, right? Symbiotic relationships weren't there for the whole team. And now, you know, Denver is pretty good in that regard too. We see it, right? We see how good Denver can be as closers, right? Jamal's probably the most important scorer on the team. When he's scoring at a high rate, when he's efficient, Nuggets rarely lose. Jokic is the leader. He's the commander, right? He can have 15 assists or 41 points, sometimes both. But the team runs through him, and they probably should. Two-time MVP, probably could have been three-time MVP. Like, he's a better player than Joel Embiid. Sorry. Others in the Nuggets are high-level executioners, right, as role players. Aaron Gordon uses his body, like, can't be stopped in a lot of those situations. KCP, nailing threes, always moving. Bruce Brown does everything. Swiss Army knife. But they know who they are. They know who does what, right? It's a huge part of all this. And even if they're not at the same level as the Miami Heat, sometimes the way a team storms and norms together, it happens faster in situations like this, like we're seeing in the postseason, when they have a mutual goal. Right? It kind of forces you to work together. But if you're not good at working together, if these aspects of game theory are showing themselves. But teams like the Kings are really starting to show that symbiotic nature. If the Grizzlies didn't have this Ja Morant bullshit, they would probably show it too. The Bucks usually show it at a really high level, but they panicked, right? Fired Budenholzer. But anyway, these are really important aspects to what we're seeing in front of us, and it's an important aspect to your bets. And now, especially in the regular season of these sports, the regular season, you got to think about things as they are in reference to 2023, right? 2023 is different than 1993. Players have more, just like the rest of us, right? We all have more. We're all living like kings and queens. There's less incentive to win. There's less energy for greatness. It takes special players to still care and still have that passion and consistency in every single game. Special players like Jimmy Butler, like Nikola Jokic. And as far as the game theory side of this goes, that's something that I look at more than most cappers. The reason why it's so hard to look at and include in my bets is because it's really hard to quantify, right? Like, how do you quantify Jimmy Butler's intangible, like OG nature? I don't know. But that aspect of game theory is the most volatile, in my opinion, these personalities, the inner workings of these relationships, because it's purely human, right? It's beyond skill. Like, skills can be taught. You know, you can shoot better, you can pass better, you can defend better. But passion, leadership, poise, consistent motivation, those cannot be taught. You either have them or you don't. You either work on them individually and bring them to your team or you don't. And, you know, when you talk about betting on a sport like football, football is different, right? Usually it's different than a sport like basketball because it requires a certain amount of work ethic and passion for the most part because you're putting your body on the line. Like, maybe if you're a wide receiver who makes fancy catches and has avoided being hit hard, maybe you can still be a diva, right? You can still think you're a superstar, that you're above the rest of your team. But for the most part, football players get it. Like, it's a team, it's a big team. Not one superstar can really win a game. And there has to be that grit and that work ethic there, right? Basketball, not so much. It's a sport full of superstars. It's a sport that doesn't care as much about their coaches. Like, coaches still matter in the NFL, folks. Coaches command a room. Coaches get paid. Coaches are either good at leadership and scheming or they're not, or they're only good at one, which makes a huge difference in the way that your bets hit or don't hit. Coaches in the NFL, huge. In the NBA, not as much. So yes, let's continue to understand how to assess line movement and how the lines are set and where there's value and where there's not. These are quantifiable things that has to be included in your sports betting, right? Especially lines that don't make sense. Like, I'm going to start to track that this summer. When I see a line that doesn't make sense, what I've noticed is that usually the part of it that doesn't make sense, if you bet on that side, it usually comes to fruition early in the game, especially in a pro sport. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to hit full game. Like last night, LA Sparks at Seattle Storm. The Seattle Storm had the best defense in WNBA so far. Solid team, played together for a while. But they were +3 at home against the LA Sparks, who have not been a good team for a long time. It didn't make much sense to me, but the Sparks beat them straight up 24-6 in the first quarter. Now, the Storm eventually came back and won that game by 3. So it was a bad line. It was a weird line. But whatever the odds makers knew that we didn't, that weird line, it showed itself early in the contest. I'm going to start to assess lines like that that stand out as very strange and see what the result is, because I got a feeling anecdotally that most of the results that stay true to what the line suggests occur earlier than later. So you still got to think about these things. I'm always thinking about lines and the quantifiable, but incorporating game theory and observing and assessing all these different aspects of the nature of humans and how they interact and how good they are or how bad they are working together on a court or a field is a significant part of understanding the sport and trusting the side that you're betting on. Significant. And that side of sports betting, that side of betting analysis and strategy is very immature, like has not been theorized properly yet. That's what we're aiming to do on Laying the Points. Let's talk more about that side of things while we incorporate the old school tenets of the most successful sports bettors. If you live in a state that does not allow sports betting, it is not legal. So no DraftKings, no FanDuel, no PointsBet. I am very sorry. That sucks. But you can still bet on sports. You can use an offshore sports book like BetUS. Go to BetUS, type in Farley125 in the promo code, and you will get 125% deposit bonus. Easy for me to say. Deposit bonus. Which means that not only are they doubling your money, they're giving you even more than doubling your money, right? You put in $50. What's 125% of $50? Shit, I should probably know that. You put in $100, you get 125, you get 225 total in your account, right? So I guess if you put in 50, yeah, you would get what, 62.50, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. So you have 112.50, something like that. Anyway, 125% deposit bonus using BetUS. Anywhere you are in America, you can use that. It's an offshore book. Get started today. Win your wagers. BetUS is a great sports book, and you can help support Laying the Points with Farley Bets. All right, let's get into these NBA finals. We got game three around the corner. And as far as the line evaluation goes, suddenly the odds makers like a closer matchup, huh? Isn't that something? We bet on the Heat in the last game, but I had Miami as I think they should be +4 at home. So the value is on Denver for me, especially after that last loss. I mean, Denver started that game at home scoring only 23 points in the first quarter. I think that's going to be an area of emphasis. And we're seeing that first quarter total climb. It was at 54.5. Now it's at 55.5. Last game, we had the Heat and the under in the first quarter. Those both hit. Expected the response first period from those Miami Heat, but I kind of like the reverse today. And the thing is, Denver's offense has been elite on the road in these playoffs, a better offensive rating than at home, 120.3 compared to 118.8 in Denver. And you got to like this stat, my buddy Michael Newbert at Free Cheese Kid on Twitter, I love that handle, sent me this stat today. Denver is not defending three-pointers well. 43 out of the 57 three-pointers that Miami has shot, NBA stats say that they have not defended on 75% of those three-pointers, 43 of 57. So Miami's getting a lot of open looks. Miami's going back home. I like Denver in this one to respond. Like, I think this is going to be a more offensive game. We're going to see some points in this. But, I mean, Denver not defending the three. Miami's probably going to shoot better at home. Denver is going to want to play better after only putting up 108 points at home against Miami in game two. Area of emphasis, I think, on both sides is going to be playing consistently well on offense. The Heat trust their defense, but after games where they execute at a high level, sometimes they can come down from that a little bit, right? And again, this is, you know, we get into game theory and the psychology of these NBA finals. If we're looking at pure execution and talent, of course that favors Denver. They're extremely talented, top to bottom, a lot of depth, great starting five, great shooters, and they have a significant size advantage across their roster against Miami. But if you like a dirty dog fight, a proper knock, as Conor McGregor would say, I want to have a proper knock, that favors Miami, right? If it's like a street fight out there, gritty, defensive, loose balls, charges, offensive rebounding, physical fouls. That's a Miami type game. Now, this is a hard thing to predict in game, obviously, But after a certain type of game, you can get an idea for what's coming. And game two was more physical. Game two was a little sloppier. It barely went over. And now we're seeing that line drop a little bit in Miami, which I understand. I thought the total should be lower in Miami as well. Miami's defense has been really good at home. But after Miami, even the series, now coming back home, the show that South Florida can be, how good Denver's offense has been on the road and how good we know they are, period. I think we're going to get a high-scoring first quarter. I think we're going to get a higher-scoring game. I think it's going to the 220s. And I definitely lean Nuggets. I think there's an affiliation with a higher-scoring game and the Nuggets for obvious reasons. So I definitely lean Nuggets tonight, even on the road. And then I might go back to betting on Miami in game four. I think that's the kind of series it's going to be. I've always thought that. And it's kind of funny, isn't it? Right? You had a lot of touts, a lot of content providers, a lot of guys thinking they're funny, a lot of girls just showing their tits and saying stuff about the Miami Heat because that's what happens on fucking gambling Twitter. Saying, Denver's going to run away with this series. The Miami Heat can't win this series. 1-1, baby. Jimmy Butler, he survived. They escaped. Escaped Denver with a win. That's all Miami had to do, in my opinion. And now they're in a pretty good spot. The WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association. We are 8-4 for plus 6.4 units so far. Had a loss last night. We bet on the Sky, -5.5. Boy, the Indiana Fever, pretty feisty. Played really hard in that game. Chicago still almost covered the game in overtime. Probably should have covered. They were up by 7. Missed a few free throws at the end. Or else we cover that line as well. And we win another one. Would have been 9-3. But that's okay. I'll take 8-4. We're doing well. Look for free picks at FarleyBets.com all summer in the WNBA. And again, if you're interested in my premium package, which is going to be my best plays, the earliest lines, contact me on Twitter, Farley Bets, and we can work something out. But, you know, lots of teams are still figuring themselves out in the WNBA. So just be cautious. And so far, underdogs have treated me really well for that very same reason, right? Because the teams that the odds makers think should be dominant right out the gate, they're not quite there yet, right? Like, how long until the Liberty really start to gel? Because that's a super talented team, but they have a lot of new parts, and that's showing itself a little bit. Is Vegas and Chicago really the best defenses in the WNBA, or is that just an early season thing because of the talent they have and the size they have? What's in the makeup of how the Chicago Sky finishes? Again, game theory. The Sky are incredibly good in the clutch. We saw it again in overtime last night. Why is that? Leadership, Copper, their best player on the court, scoring at will. It's probably part of that. Why do the Chicago Sky finish so well? Why are they so good in the clutch? These are things to observe and examine. Again, the Indiana Fever, are they legit fighters? I mean, they're 1-5, but they're playing close. They almost beat the Aces the other night, Sunday. But what's wrong with their finishing? Why can't they finish? Why can't they play well in the clutch? We saw that twice now. They had a lead on the Aces all game, and the Aces took it over in the fourth quarter. They let the Sky come back and win in overtime. So, Fever are a team that's still figuring a lot out, obviously. But over time, are they going to get better at that and then cover even more lines? I think there's plenty of value on Indiana. The Sparks, are they a legit offense? So far, they're putting up some numbers, but is it legit? Is it going to continue? These are all great questions to ask yourself and to analyze as you prepare your WNBA bets. Tonight, Wednesday, June 7th, I kind of like the Lynx, the Minnesota Lynx. Again, these Liberty are being evaluated at what a premium. I know they're at home, but -14.5. And I know they just let that bad game happen, right, where they lost to the Sky at home on Sunday. But 14.5 points against the Minnesota Lynx team that checks out as average in most categories, aka while they're not the best, they're not the worst either. They're a pretty good team. 14 and a half. Again, in the end, it's all about the number. And that's a little too much for me. I'm going with the Minnesota Lynx tonight in the WNBA, and there's another free pick for you. And how about one more just for good energy, you know? We've been winning a lot in the French Open. Carolina Mukova plays Arianna Sabalenka tomorrow in the French Open. I think Mukova is going to be a real challenge for Sabalenka. Mukova's been playing some of her best tennis that she's played in a while. She's on a mission. She's finally made the quarterfinals again. I think she wins a set. You can get plus money over 2.5 sets, and I might take a shot on her to beat Sabalenka straight up. She's playing really good tennis. We've seen Sabalenka can kind of shit the bed in these spots. I'm looking at Carolina Mukova tomorrow in the women's side of the French Open. Thank you all for listening to Laying the Points of Farley Betts. We'll be back next week where we invite a very good MLB capper, Kurt Blakeway, onto this show to talk a little baseball, because I'm not betting it very often, so I need somebody who bets it and does it well to come on our show and discuss his MLB wagers. Look forward to that. Look forward to Dr. Kate soon. Happy summer, everybody. It's incoming. Enjoy your summer. Be restful before this NFL season starts. We got some great things coming. Future podcasts for the NFL season. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to say too much just yet, but it is going to be awesome. Can't wait. Thank you all for listening. See you next time on Laying the Points of Farley Betts. Let's win some damn money.